This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Yeah, the primary is coming up May 20th, and in less than 2 hours, one of the candidates who wants to be the next mayor of Pittsburgh, Corey O'Connor, will be in studio. We've had Mayor Ed Gainey on, and we will have a debate coming up on May 8th, where you'll have an opportunity to hear from both candidates on the Democratic ticket for mayor of Pittsburgh. The incumbent Ed Gainey and Corey O'Connor will have him in studio again, Corey O'Connor, in our 8 o'clock hour. Yesterday, 24 hours ago, a lot of people waking up to the news of the passing of Pope Francis at the age of 88. We now know of a stroke and then heart failure after he had spent the day and a good bit of it engaging with people in St. Peter's Square for Easter services. And former CBS anchorwoman Nora O'Donnell is in Rome, and she shared a 101 that she had with Pope Francis last May.
Do you like when you are called the people's pope?
El Papa de la gente.
The pope of the people? I've always been a pastor.
Fui pastor, sí.
You are a pastor for the people, not for yourself. A pastor has to be for the people.
Pope Francis was born Jorge Mario Bergoglio in Argentina in 1936 into a family of Italian immigrants. Bergoglio was on his way to a party when he passed a church and felt compelled to go to confession. That moment led him to the priesthood. Decades later, he became Archbishop of Buenos Aires with a focus on the poor. And in 2001, Pope St. John Paul II elevated him to cardinal. As Pope for 12 years, Francis was known for his humility. He stuck to church doctrine, but extended his hand to those he felt were marginalized, especially migrants and the LGBTQ community.
You have said, who am I to judge? Homosexuality is not a crime.
No, it's a human fact.
There are conservative bishops in the United States that oppose your new efforts to revisit teachings and traditions. How do you address their criticism?
You used an adjective, conservative. That is, conservative is one who clings to something and does not want to see beyond that. It is a suicidal attitude, because one thing is to take tradition into account, to consider situations from the past, but quite another is to be closed up inside a dogmatic box.
What do you hope your legacy is?
I never really thought about it. The church is the legacy. The church, not only through the Pope, but through you, through every Christian, through everyone. Personally, I get on the bandwagon of the church and its legacy for all.
Nora O'Donnell and her one-on-one with Pope Francis again last year. And so it was decided this morning, Paul, as you know, by the Cardinals, what the plan is and the funeral will take place Saturday in St. Peter's Square. Roman Catholic cardinals decided this morning, setting the stage for a solemn ceremony that will draw leaders from around the world. And then breaking with tradition, and he has laid in, by the way, a wooden coffin in that chapel right now in Santa Marta. You saw the photograph of the pontiff with the Swiss guard standing by.
Yeah, this is not the Sistine Chapel where normally, I think that is the place where the Pope has been laying in state in the past. This is the hotel, the chapel hotel where he was living.
Yeah, and a lot of people might wonder, why was he in a hotel?
This is the hotel that he checked into,
right,
famously when he was getting started. He just never left.
Right, that famous photograph of him standing at the reception desk at the hotel. There's a male and a female who are attending, and they look stunned because they had realized when he came in, you know, when he first arrived, he was a cardinal. Then when he came back, he was the Pope. And there was no entourage with him. He was just himself carrying his own bag. So they actually, looks like the president will fly to Rome for the service, and there will be others. And, of course, Vice President J.D. Vance, one of the last people to have a conversation with the Pope on Easter. And the conclave then will commence, and I think in the past year since that movie came out, regardless of the movie itself and the Hollywoodized parts of it, it did reveal some of the things that we saw that. Remember when they sealed the bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've seen the video of them doing that yesterday.
They put up what looks like a red ribbons, and then they put the wax seal over that, over the door. Now, that's interesting. Did they do that in the papal residence, or did they do that at the hotel?
Well, it should be where I would imagine he passed.
Yeah.
So in that case, on that door. Or is it symbolic on the door what would have been the bedroom in the, you know, I guess that's St. Peter Square.
Yeah.
In that residence. So here's how this works. All the cardinals in Rome were summoned to a meeting, including we talked to Cardinal Dan DiNardo yesterday, who's a Pittsburgh area native. And he had been the bishop and then cardinal in Rome or in Houston, but he's younger than 80. And any cardinal younger than 80 is going to be a part of the conclave. And it typically takes 15 to 20 days after the death of a pontiff to elect a new pope. 135 cardinals are eligible to participate. The secretive ballot, which can stretch over days before you see the white smoke pouring from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. And that tells the world a new pope has been picked. And not unlike what people are doing with the NFL draft, there are people that are handicapping which cardinal might be the new pope.
I read at length this morning, a second time, some profiles of some of the likely candidates that will be discussed or considered, I guess. One of the things that I took away was there was one from every region, one from Africa, one from Asia, one from the United States, North America, one from South America, a couple from Europe. And one of the things that I read was one of the youngest candidates or speculative candidates, one of the arguments against making that person pope is they're too young, because they'll be in, potentially could be the pope for 20 years.
And he was 76.
And they were looking for someone who might not be on the job as long, just to promote more change in the church, I guess. I'm not quite sure about that. And then you have the speculation over who's a conservative and who's more moderate, these political terms that get applied to the pope.
Well, consider this. Nearly 80% of the cardinals who will be electing the new pope were appointed to be cardinals by Francis.
Exactly.
Yesterday morning, we had a very unique opportunity to speak to Cardinal Dan DiNardo. He was born in Steubenville, grew up in Castle Shannon, went to St. Anne's Elementary, became a priest, and then was the founding pastor of Saints John and Paul in Franklin Park, among his other roles, before he was sent to Iowa as a bishop, then to Houston. He became a cardinal, and he is one of those 135 cardinals that have assembled and will be part of the conclave that elects the new pope. He was part of the conclave that elected Francis, and we asked him about the process yesterday.
There's an immediate kind of protocol. It's as though tradition and protocol help us deal with grief, maybe. And that will take place over the next few days. And then the cardinals, we've already been summoned to Rome. But when the see is vacant, we call it, the pope has died, then the general congregation or meetings are run by cardinals to get things ready for the election of a new pope. And that will take some weeks, I think, to do over a period of mourning. And then those of us who are under 80 will be secluded into the Sistine Chapel then for the election of a new pope.
Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall to hear what goes on inside those walls in the Sistine Chapel?
And I got the chance to ask him.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
How did this consensus build for the different candidates for the papacy? And the response was remarkable in that he said, once the doors are sealed, once the conclave actually begins, that they'll seal the doors of the Sistine Chapel.
Right.
From that point forward, there's not a lot of discussion behind the scenes about the different candidates. That all pretty much happens leading up to the beginning of the conclave.
Fascinating process. And a little window behind that curtain in that movie, Conclave.
Now, they have four votes a day, and they keep voting until someone gets two-thirds of the votes. That's how it works.
And they're suggesting, and Cardinal DiNardo did say, to your point, he said it's not as political as you might think. Interesting, because when Pope Francis came as one of the cardinals to elect the new pope, he didn't think it would be him. He didn't bring enough clothes, oddly enough. He thought, well, this is going to be, a short trip.
But I guess, isn't that the kind of person that most people would want for a pope?
Yeah.
You want someone who's really not all that interested in the job, right?
But wouldn't you love to be?
The ambition, the ego's not there.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
For that, right?
Able to hear the sidebar conversations.
Oh, man, would that be great.
On the future of, this is a big job. 1.3 billion Catholics around the world.
A really trustworthy author who's a noted historian. Someone with the reputation of like a David McCullough to be invited to participate as a
observer
during the conclave. Would that not be some of the most interesting reading?
Like an embedded reporter.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, no, I know. But we can talk about it. We can think about it. But I like you, I'm very curious about the process and what takes place. And maybe it's underwhelming. Who knows?
Well, they are already, and they can't help themselves, handicapping which cardinals would be most likely to emerge.
Please tell me that they're not going to put this up on places like online betting like FanDuel.
Well, the gaming site Polymarket is giving Italian Cardinal Pietro Parolin the best odds of becoming the next leader of the Catholic Church.
Oh, my.
Luis Antonio Tengle is a distant second. And if you don't believe the hype, the last two popes came out of nowhere. So far, $3 million in bets have been placed.
That's my goodness.
Where we are today.
And it's going to get, that'll spread.
Right.
And somebody's going to hit the jackpot, right? A few people probably will take a flyer on
manna from heaven.
Somebody who is not likely to, and then all of a sudden they name this person pope and you're in big bucks.
Is it sacrilegious to bet on the Pope?
I have. Wow. Good question.
Looking forward to our Conversation with Corey O'Connor. He'll be in studio in our 8 o'clock hour. A lot to cover. The election, the primary is May 20th, and we have a debate scheduled with Ed Gainey and Corey O'Connor on May 8th. We'll tell you more about that a little later on.
You know, Larry, I can't remember a time in almost two decades of working here in Pittsburgh where we've had more access to mayoral candidates during a campaign than we have had in the last several weeks.
And you'll hear more in the next few weeks. That said, it is Earth Day, and joining us, this has nothing to do with Earth Day. Dan DeMarco is the president of the Ross Board of Commissioners, and we've invited him on because there's a push now to call the deer herd. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Ironically and completely coincidentally, I drive through your district every morning on McKnight Road, and last week on Holy Thursday, it was kind of a deer strike miracle because I thought for sure I was going to be impacted because blindsided by a deer right at the bottom of the big hill coming out of McKnight Road before you go over the top and it becomes the city of Pittsburgh. I thought 100% this deer is going to run right into the side of the car, and it just missed, and no damage, and, you know, your heart's pumping. But every day, and it's not just your district, everywhere I go, I see deer everywhere. And I know you're acutely aware of this. So people have asked you, you said when you were campaigning in 2019, door to door, they were like, what are you going to do about the deer, Dan? So what's the game plan?
Well, Larry, we already have a game. We've been for 5 years now, we've had an archery hunt during the archery season, which is mid-September to January. We've been able to get some deer. This past season, I think we had around 48 that were harvested by the archery hunters that are placed on private properties and township properties. We just ironically last night, the Board of Commissioners approved moving forward to adopt a call, and a call is their sharpshooters that would be on these properties, and it's done at night, overnight, and sharpshooters and the deer baited. They bait the deer with food with feed, and we're hoping that process is going to take a while because there's a lot of steps that have to be taken. The entity that's doing the archery program is going to be assisting with that, but there's a lot of hurdles or a lot of steps, if you will, that have to be taken in order to get that program approved and up and running. And the Game Commission will be involved. They'll be assisting and advising so that we can get that program up and running. It's going to take a while, as I said. So it'll probably, hopefully next year, we'll be able to start that program as well.
Commissioner DeMarco, the first thing that went through my mind as I was hearing you describe the culling, I was wondering in what areas would, not specifically to geographics, but what kind of areas would this be taking place? Because I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm out driving around at that hour coming to work, and I'm thinking if they're culling deer at that hour, you know, I have a concern.
Well, certainly there's a concern, and there's always a concern. There was a concern with archery. This program and this entity, Suburban Whitetail Management, is the company that does it. They have a perfect record in terms of when it comes to no accidents, anybody harmed. So they'll be monitoring this very closely. There is a safety concern, but in the areas, they're in wooded areas, and there's in there are requirements that they can't be within so many feet of any structure, any occupied structure. So yes, it's a concern, but at the same time, these are very seasoned hunters. They know what they're doing. They know the rules, they know the regulations, and we're hoping through that program and through their expertise, they're going to, you know, they're going to be able to give, put a bigger dent in the population of the deer. It's a big population, and it grows every year. I mean, it's every couple of years the population of deer they double. We have to come up with some more solutions in order to control the population, to reduce, as you described, you're almost hit with a deer. We average roadkill picked up monthly. We average 10 to 15 deer that are picked up along the roadsides in Ross Township. We had last year a total of 261 roadkill deer picked up in Ross Township. So, it's a big problem, but we have to come up, with solutions. And, this is a solution we're pursuing in order to put the dent in that population to reduce all these problems, with cars, with accidents, with cars. They're destroying, people were, when I was out campaigning that year, people were frustrated because their yards, their flowers, their bushes, they were all being just eaten away.
We'll continue to follow the story and where this goes. I'm sure there'll be a lot of other communities focused in, but deer populations can double every 2 years without predators. And you're in a
That's another problem.
High population area with hitting cars, very destructive and can be deadly too. So appreciate you jumping on this morning, Dan. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Larry.
You got it. Dan DeMarco, president of the Ross Board of Commissioners on the Big K Morning Show.
From a Goldberg, Persky, and White news desk.
When we embrace mercy and when we give it, thank God that we had such a good teacher in Pope Francis.
That's Bishop David Zubik speaking at a special mass for the Pope last night at St. Paul Cathedral in Oakland.
And reaction continues to pour in, and we now know when the funeral will be on Saturday.
Governor Josh Shapiro says he's ready to return to the governor's mansion.
I plan to sleep there this week and be back in the residence using it as it was intended to be, the people's house, welcoming people back there.
The governor also said he had a conversation about the incident with President Trump and discussed a U.S. Steel deal, still not dead yet, apparently.
And the Pirates, Larry, are now going to give a Paul Skeens bobblehead, not just to the first 20,000, but to every fan that was at Saturday's game.
There was a line that stretched across the Roberto Clemente Bridge from PNC and then along the river. That's how many people were there. That's how many people wanted these Paul Skeens bobbleheads pitching that night. 20,000 were earmarked. 37,000 plus showed up. So in a PR move, and a smart one, I think, they said, let's make sure everybody gets one of these.
I wonder how many people waited for how many hours ahead of time before the first pitch.
And guess what? Some people have already put the bobbleheads they got online for auction.
I see one person was trying to get 150 shell smackers for one.
Good luck. The Pirates organization will announce how they will reach out to you to make sure if you didn't get one, that you get a voucher for a Paul Skeens.
And they're going to do that today?
Bobblehead. They're supposed to announce today.
Okay.